You're listening to Vatican Radio. Pope Francis met on Friday with the outgoing representative of the Archbishop of Canterbury and director of Rome's Anglican Centre, Archbishop David Moxon, who returns to his native New Zealand this week. Moxon, who also co-chairs the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission, or ARCIC, retires after 4 years in the hot seat of ecumenical relations here in Rome. He took over the job in 2013, just weeks after the inauguration of both a new pope and a new Archbishop of Canterbury. Looking back over the developments in Anglican-Catholic dialogue, Archbishop Moxon told me about the practical and spiritual progress he's witnessed, as well as about the crucial role of technology in keeping him connected with family on the other side of the globe. You arrived here in Rome just literally a few weeks after the appointment of a new Archbishop of Canterbury and the inauguration of Pope Francis's ministry. You kind of hit the ground running, didn't you?
I certainly did, and I had the great privilege of being at the inaugural Mass for Pope Francis a few weeks before I began on orientation, and also the enthronement of Justin Welby at Canterbury Cathedral. So hitting the ground running is exactly the right way of describing it. However, I would also say perhaps hitting the ground kneeling, a phrase that has been coined in recent years to say that the extraordinary privilege, vocational opportunity of being the Archbishop of Canterbury's representative to the Holy See, so the link between Archbishop Justin and the Pope, was very much on my mind and heart, and it probably would be one of the most remarkable experiences of my life.
To my eyes, it's been an incredibly fruitful 4 years. I'm wondering what you look at now as the most significant achievements of this period.
I would categorise the two ideas, I suppose, that mean the most to me over the last 4 years in terms of the biblical ideas of righteousness and justice. Under righteousness, in other words, our spirituality, our oneness with God, our sense of the love of God, I've encountered a growing intimacy, I believe, between Catholics and Anglicans in Rome and around the world. Just at the point when we thought there were obstacles that might divide us, we've experienced an embrace, a collaboration, a partnership at the practical level and also at the liturgical and theological level, which has encouraged me enormously. So staying with that theme of righteousness for a moment, just recently, the permission to oversee and offer evensong in the Basilica of St. Peter's in Rome, just by the altar of the chair, was a remarkable breakthrough for us. Never before has it happened in quite that way. We asked Archbishop Arthur Roach to preach, of course, and it was one of those moments when you realise that in evensong and praying towards the late afternoon, we were utterly one by baptism, by the singing we shared, by the scripture we were reading, by the prayers we prayed. And that oneness has already been given to us in baptism, a form of a degree of communion. So what I've enjoyed in Rome over the last 4 years is many examples of that kind of thing. Another example, staying with the theme of righteousness for a moment, a sense of oneness with God and each other, San Gregorio Arcelio, on October the 5th. The Pope and the Archbishop of Canterbury together, praying together, issuing a new common declaration, the Pope giving the Archbishop of Canterbury a crozier modelled after that, thought to be associated with Pope Gregory the Great in 595. The whole extraordinary impetus of pairs of Anglican and Catholic bishops praying together the following day as well at Caravita, Father Keith Beckler's hospitality, receiving a Lampedusa cross, and then agreeing and praying about shared mission. Shared cricket games, many other liturgical celebrations which have moved us to our core.
These are important signs and gestures of growing together spiritually, if you like, and yet the theological issues, those obstacles that you mentioned, are still there and don't show much signs of being overcome at the moment.
Well, the theological challenges we both face with each other, actually, which we encounter on the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission, where those things are put on the table, I have, in my belief, seen incremental progress. Incremental, not dramatic, not overnight, not revolutionary, but evolutionary. And I would say that what we see in our work on Mary, on our work on authority, on our work on mutual understanding and respect for each other's mission and spirituality has seen incremental progress. For example, the gift of authority ARCIC document felt it was up against the obstacle of no synodality much on the Catholic side and not much international cohesion on the Anglican side. Well, that challenge has been begun to be addressed. The Catholics are experimenting with a huge synodical process. The Anglicans are experimenting with international communality of a kind. On the question of Mary, again thought to be a major obstacle, we're seeing exploration of what her role in the church means, not being worshipped, but venerated and revered. So even on the area of the ordination of women, for example, a commission at the moment looking at whether Catholic women deacons may be considered for ordination or not, that commission exploring the theology, the biblical work behind that. And also on the question of marriage of clergy, which has been important to Anglicans, never a doctrinal obstacle for Catholics, but a discipline in the Western Church. The Pope talks about the possibility, maybe not, of senior men who married being ordained in northern Brazil. So I see incremental change. I see an evolution of a deeper communality. I would say on the other side of righteousness and justice, on the justice side, we're seeing major progress. A network against slavery, which began, which did well, which got a common declaration in multi-faiths, in a document signed by the Pope, went through a crisis, morphed into another group called the Global Sustainability Network, now working with Anglicans and Catholics very closely in different parts of the world. We've seen collaboration on refugee work, where the Humanitarian Corridor Project of Sant'Egidio is being partnered, we hope, soon by Anglican philanthropists and Anglican energy in the Diocese of Europe, the Archdeaconry of Italy. And we've also seen greater collaboration on poverty, justice, oppression, climate change, joint statements, joint action around the world.
You're talking about this evolution, this growing together, also at the theological level. How much do you think this is dependent on the person of Pope Francis, the changes that are happening, the changes that you're seeing?
He's certainly key to this. His personality, his theology, his ecclesiology, his missiology are of enormous significance in this openness, this hospitality, this desire for high common Christian ground. But I would also say it's due to the personality and mission of Archbishop Justin Welby. What you see with those two and their willingness to work with each other is a common approach to evangelization, a common approach to human vulnerability and honesty, a common approach to celebrating God's presence among us with love and grace and truth in our ordinariness. The phrase I use is, they seem to both believe that we hold this incredible treasure in earthen vessels, and we both see that in them and around them, and other personalities too on both sides of the dialogue. What I would say is that we have enormous difficulty with each other sometimes, but there seems to be this capacity of the Spirit of God to work through the difficulties and overcome them little by little.
You've got to know the environment here in Rome quite well over the past 4 years. We know that Pope Francis has a certain amount of opposition in the kind of path he's trying to tread, particularly in ecumenical affairs. Do you sense much resistance around him to the kind of things that you're trying to do?
I don't sense it myself, because I guess I'm not privy to conversations in those circles. I don't sense or come across direct evidence of opposition, but of course I read the newspapers and the journals and the articles where some of that is mentioned. But my own experience, I have to say, in all personal honesty, is of massive support by Catholics in what you might call the high common ground of Catholicism. If you look at Catholicism as a bell curve, the vast majority of people I meet are enormously thankful to God for this pontificate.
Let's talk about it from your own personal perspective. Your family is on the other side of the globe, literally. How difficult, how challenging has this been for you at a very personal level?
It's been enormously challenging, but we agreed to it after a prayerful discussion, a consensus amongst all of us, all six of us, that we would commute how and when we could. It's a long way. But I got home three times a year. They came to me in different shapes and forms three times a year. What we said to each other, though, is we wouldn't have gone into this without FaceTime, without Skype. So almost every morning, I make a coffee, I sit down at my kitchen table, and I get on my iPhone, and there I am chatting as I normally would. Every Sunday, family dinners, I can say grace, I can interact with them. And that's been a lifesaver. I wouldn't have taken this job without FaceTime, because I can see them, they can see me, I can show them what I'm doing anywhere, where there's Wi-Fi, and that technology, I think, has made us viable. I wouldn't have gone into this job as a younger man with a young family. The children had all left home, most of them are married, or my wife's own family around her, living with her often, and her 24/7 work. We were ready for this kind of adventure, but only for a season. 4 years, 4.5 years was about right.
What are you looking ahead to now? What plans do you have?
I'm going back to be a hobbit in New Zealand. I'm going to be hearth and home, friends and family, and be of use as a sort of spare engine.
What, if you like, are you taking with you at a very personal level? What have you perhaps most appreciated about the work you've done here?
I think it's been the impact of Catholic spirituality around St. Ignatius, St. Clare and St. Francis, as I see it embodied in the Pope. So I've been fascinated with the way he witnesses to spirituality. He has a Jesuit Ignatian approach to all of his thinking, all of his vocation, of course. And if you want to understand his pontificate, I believe you understand St. Ignatius' spiritual discernment and you see why he's approaching his ministry as a Jesuit does. But he's chosen the name Francis, and so you get Franciscan missiology with that. And I think getting deeper into that, myself and Assisi, friends from Caravita, from other places, Columban fathers, Franciscans I know, that's helped hone up those things in me enormously, and they will remain as a personal and deep part of me now to the end of my days.
You've overseen a significant change here at the Anglican Centre as well over the past 4 years, haven't you? What do you see, perhaps, as its role today compared with what you inherited 4 years ago?
What we've tried to do in the Anglican Centre is build on the relationship between Archbishop Justin Welby and Pope Francis, and that's taken us in new directions. For example, one senses a new momentum, and perhaps even a new impatience for doing more together. Archbishop Rowan Williams and Pope Benedict did enormously important scholarly interchange, and they opened the door for Archic 3. With Justin and Pope Francis, you now get the sense of an extroverted, hospitable, mobilized time. So how much more can we do together? We've got up to 12 courses now, where there were originally four run by the centre. We've tried to get involved in, as I said earlier, slavery trafficking, refugee work, climate change work, that kind of approach to joint justice and peace projects much more obviously, much more intentionally, with personnel, with money, with resources together. And I would say there also the profiling of joint worship together much more obviously, and praying together much more frequently, and letting God work on our relationship.
So finally, what message are you handing on to your successor who will be taking over here in just a few weeks' time?
I would say hit the ground kneeling. I would say begin on your knees. That's the only way you'll achieve anything anyway. It's true of all of us. And see what God has to say to you, because this is a time of enormous potential and risk and opportunity and danger and challenge, all that warp and woof, that mix that goes on in all of us all the time. But it will be exhilarating, it will be terrifying, it'll be wonderful, it'll be a blessed time. And I wish my successor, Archbishop Bernard Nataturi, and his wife Matilda every success in their 5 years here.
My thanks to Archbishop Sir David Moxon, outgoing Director of Rome's Anglican Centre and representative of the Archbishop of Canterbury to the Holy See.